Jesus, we do lift you up, God. You are the one who has set us free. And so, God, today we just put aside all the things that are dragging us down, God. We just put it aside, Lord, and we look into your face. And we just say, thank you, God, thank you. And God, I just pray that as we continue with this service, Lord, that you will be in here. Lord, you are here. I pray that you will convict us. God, convict us. Help us to get on our knees before you, Lord, and to worship you in spirit and in truth. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
For such a time as this, I have set this church apart. I've set this church aside because there will come a latter rain. I will pour from heaven the latter rain, which will fall in this place. It will raise this place up, and it will stir you, and it will germinate a new seed. A new planting of the Lord, of trees of righteousness, you will rise up, and you will be strong, and you will have great trunks, and you will have leaves that will cover the nations, and there will be great trees thereof, like a tree planted by the water, and you will bring shade to many, because there is a hunger in my people in this place, and I will pour, saith the Lord, the latter rain, which will fall in this place. There will be revival in this house.
And all the people said,
Amen.
Elvin, are you coming up? Are we having fun? Thank you, Lord. I asked you're going to introduce these folks, right? No, right now. I thought he was going to say a few words. Are we on the wrong page?
Testing. There I am. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Is Jesus real? That's what sets us apart. If we were to call ourselves religion, that's what would set us apart. Is Jesus real? Are we serving a living God? I tell you, I would not be standing here. All of us would not be standing here if he wasn't a living God. There's people serving dead gods. Dead religion, but it's Jesus. Hallelujah. That's alive. With that being said, I just want to introduce Pastor Tim and his wife, Lorraine. They're going to say a few words. Then we're going to have a message by Pastor Stan here. So, Pastor Tim, amen.
Where's Tanya? Did we lose her? Come on up, you guys. One of the most exciting things is when somebody from the congregation that we visit gives testimony. That's probably the most exciting thing. So I got permission from this lady. She said no at first, but I paid her $100. No, I'm just kidding. So she's going to come up right now because it was just very special. It's Arlene, isn't it? Come on up. Give her a hand. Give her a hand.
All right, I just got another testimony out there. A lady, we pray for her for diabetes.
This is Tanya.
Hi, guys. Say hi, Tanya. I'm from Newfoundland. Anyone here from Newfoundland? Yeah, good. How you doing, mate? I get interpretation for that later. But so anyways, this lady, she had diabetes, and we prayed last night, and she tested her blood, and all night her blood was normal. Yeah. And so she's going to go to the doctor. She can't remember when the last time that was like that, right? There she is. Wave. Say, this is me. This is me. And so I just want to encourage the body with that, and just we'll continue to believe that the doctor is going to confirm what the good report of the Lord is. Amen. So what do you want me to tell? So much. Okay, this is Arlene. Arlene's my best buddy here. So she's going to tell an awesome testimony.
I got your back.
Okay. Last night I came and asked for some prayer with my feet because you know that I've had a lot of difficulties with them. I was being faced back to having to go to the doctors tomorrow because some of the pins are starting to come out again. And I got prayer last night and the pins aren't there. And I have...
What? They just disappeared?
They disappeared. And I have no more pain. I got up this morning and I was able to walk.
Okay, you guys want to see her jump? Do something you couldn't do before. Just work it. Come on. Work it, work it. She couldn't do that. She couldn't do this. She couldn't do... I can't do that. Bend over. Do you guys want to see her touch her toes? Come on. Come on. Let's do it together. Come on. Come on, Pastor Tim. Oh, that was good. Praise God. Anyways, okay. So, okay, 10 minutes. So we were outside yesterday doing like ministry. We shared this last night. But I just want to share a little bit about God wants us healed spiritually when it comes into us, new creation in our soul, renewing our heart, healing that broken heart, and as well physically. God does things halfway. And so yesterday we were Pins looking at me. He's like, so yesterday there was this lady that was in the Walmart and I was with Lorraine. We saw her and she, I was like, can I went up to her and I want to bless you with a Tim card. Can we pray for you? And she's like, no, it's okay. It's okay. It was like an awkward second. And then we just continued to talk and then she began to open up. And she began to cry and tell us that she came here from the Philippines. A Canadian guy got married. Finds out he was actually married, and all this drama and all this brokenness. And by the end of it, a lady who said, "No, I don't want you to pray for me," was in our arms crying, and God was just ministering and pouring out. A lot of broken people in this place, in this city, and you have what they need. You have the love of God. And the love of God takes on many forms. It takes on, let me heal you. Let me, through Jesus in me, let me heal the broken heart. Jesus, like, let me heal the broken foot. Let me do that. And God wants to do that through his body.
Give her a hand. You need a healing touch. Tanya has a healing anointing. Let her lay hands on you today. I don't hesitate. You see, in team ministry, it's not just about a one-man show. It's about as a team going out, and we all have different giftings, and we all have different flows of the Spirit of God. Do you believe that today? So that's an encouragement for you, because there's a special flow for you that God wants to give you to reach this province, to reach this nation. I can't help but do this, because as soon as I shook her hand, I just felt something very special. This lady right here is very special, right here, this lady. It's her birthday today. Give her a hand. And I believe that the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God, wants to give you a word of encouragement and say, well done, my daughter, well done. She has been faithful in season and out of season. She's gone through a lot in her life, but she stood strong and she stood firm. And the Lord has been with her, and she is young in the Spirit. And there's still more for you, sister, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Randy's got something, so he's moving this way already. See, that's what we want to see in team ministry, where it's everybody getting something from God and wanting to be used. That's my calling. I think it's somewhat scriptural. It says that the leadership in churches should be equipping the saints for works of ministry, service. And that's the calling that God has given me, is raise up people. I have got people that sometimes have sat in the pew for 20 years, but all of a sudden, as they're trained and equipped, there's a fire that comes upon them, and you can't hold them back. I always say, I'm blessed and the most favored in regards to being able to do what I do, because I see people rise up. This guy here, I have to hold him back. I have to hold him back because he's going 100% all the time. I love taking him along because he stirs things up. I know a little bit about this gentleman, but I'm just a couple more, and then I'll let Randy. This gentleman right here, I met him last night, and I was worshiping over here, and I couldn't get my eyes off of him because I saw a light coming down over his head, a light. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm not even going to tell you who it is yet. The Holy Spirit is saying to him that there is going to be a brighter light, almost a fire, that's going to begin to burn over him and around him. And there is going to be darkness that's going to be burnt off around him. And souls are coming in Jesus' name. Reach out to this guy right here. Reach out to him right now. I saw the light over you. I saw it almost turn into fire. And I want you to know that that fire that's on you is going to clear the darkness in and around the area wherever you go. And that there's souls that are coming in. And that is exactly what your heart is in Jesus' name. Everybody reach out to him right now. Thank you, Lord. Send him out into the highways and the byways. Send him out all over this world. And I thank you, Lord, that he is going to see who Yamasa. People have to change their options because he's coming to town. In Jesus' name, give the Lord a hand.
I just want to say, I got 5 minutes. Five of whose minutes? A day is as a thousand years is as a day, right? Amen? The Bible says that? Anyway, when I come in here, you know, we don't know what to expect when we come into a body. I mean, we come to minister, and I think the bottom line is we just trust that the Holy Ghost is going to come, and the Holy Ghost is going to come before us and prepare the hearts of the people, no matter who they are, no matter what they look like, no matter what they believe. When we're accepted and received into a church or into a place, a reserve, whatever it is, we go there in such an expectancy of the Holy Ghost coming and showing up and starting a work in there that we just have to start. We just have to kind of take that risk and step through that veil and allow him to do what he wants to do. And I really believe this place is really an amazing place. I just sensed this morning when we were worshiping. First of all, that was awesome worship, you guys. That was amazing. It was amazing. It's awesome. We just go right to heaven. It's awesome. We love it. But God showed me this paintbrush. He brought this paintbrush down, and I seen this great big, it was like a great big wall, but there was different scenes on it that he'd already painted. And there was some open places in there, and he was painting this church. And I seen him with the paintbrush, and I seen him with all you guys' hands raised up in worshiping the Lord. You guys are a part of what's to come for this next generation, for this next move of the Holy Ghost. You guys are a part of what is going to take place. I'm telling you right now, get ready. Get ready because there's a new rain that's coming. There's a latter rain. We heard it this morning, and it's coming to this body of believers. So don't have no heart, hold no fear, and don't hold back because God's going to do something in the hungry hearts of you guys. I'm telling you right now, it's something that God is going to stir up in you, in Jesus' name. Okay, now I got to do a commercial here, so I just picked out this brother here, and this is what we do. When we go out onto the street, we just walk out, and God just kind of pinpoints somebody for us, and we just walk up to him, and he go, hey, brother, how you doing, buddy? Good, I'm Randy, and we're just from Lighthouse Church in Stony Plain, and you know what? Can I buy 2 minutes of your time with a $10 Tim card? Yeah? That's awesome. You know what? No, you don't get it yet because I get the 2 minutes first, and then I give you the Tim card. But you know what, God, I believe pinpointed you, and has singled you out. Now, I don't know if you believe in him, and it really doesn't matter because I believe him, and I believe that he sent me to you. And I just want to know if there's something in your life right now that we can pray for. It'd be a healing, a family thing, whatever. Hey, buddy, that's yours. Go and enjoy. Amen. Now, I got a word for this lady right here, and God just showed me this rock. The lady you were prophesying over, she's beautiful. God just showed me this big rock, but he showed me this rock that was chiseled, and it took some time to chisel this out. It took years of forming and nurturing and making this into a picture that he wanted and into this pillar of what he wanted it to look like. And I'm telling you right now that you're a pillar in the eyes of the Lord. He has chiseled you. You've went through some things in your life. You've been through hard times, and I see these rocks that have just been a rocky, rocky time in your life, but God has come in and he's went, it's been for a purpose. It's been to build you up and to bring you to a place of the glory that you possess right now, because that crown of glory that's upon your head, you've paid the price for it. And he sees you and he's seen your prayers and he has seen everything that you've gone through, and he honors you today in Jesus' name. You're a rock in this place. Amen.
So we run a one-year and a two-year program at Lighthouse Church. We have people coming from all over the province. We train them up, but we don't steal people. We train them up with that determination that they go back to their area, to their church, empowered to do the work of the ministry. This is not about building a kingdom. This is about us all determining to work together for the kingdom. And that's our hearts. The excitement that I have is when I, at the end of the year, and we travel extensively almost every weekend from January till the end of June, all over the province and even out of the province. And what excites me more than anything is usually by the last month of the year, I'm sitting in the back pew and I'm cheerleading them because they take over in Jesus' name. Equipping the saints for works of ministry. So if you've got a fire burning in your belly, if you have a desire to step out in faith, if you have a desire to be used, I'll push and probe you just a little bit and encourage you to step out. Some people that come in the training center in September have never given a prophetic word in their whole life. But by the time the end of the year is over, they're out. Smooth working prophetic machine that will prophesy over anything that moves, and sometimes even if it doesn't move. See, that's one of the gifts of the Spirit. We get words of knowledge in regards to healing. Sometimes they'll get pain in their body, which they don't usually get, which is a word of knowledge in regards to somebody that needs a healing touch. And if they get that, they're supposed to let me know. As far as that, this is exciting to begin to be flowing and activated in the gifts of the Spirit, which we believe with every part of our being is for the body of Christ. But it's not just for the leaders, but it's for everybody in the church. Somebody's there. Oh, Sheldon.
You know, I so appreciated this song, "There Is Freedom in Jesus Christ," and just in my heart to read something here. This is 2 Corinthians 3:16-18. It says, "But whenever anyone turns to the Lord Jesus, the veil is removed." And you know what? That's happened in my life. I've had some personal encounters with Jesus. And I used to be quite a firecracker when I was young, but that, I tell you, now it's a little bit, it's even more. But it's very harnessed in the Lord. And I just want to encourage you. There is something burned in the spirit of every one of God's people, and he wants to introduce you to who you are. He wants to introduce each one of us to who we are in the fullness of his image. He created us in the fullness of his image. But because of sin and iniquity and the curses, and et cetera, all hell broke up against, came against us. But you know, Jesus' finished work. Jesus' finished work is for everything, to restore everything unto us. And Jesus is about raising up his bride. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, yeah, there is freedom. And we do not, we who with unveiled faces all reflect, whether you believe it or not, you reflect the glory of God. Even if you have a rough, bad day, you still reflect the glory of God. It's important to believe who we are. It's important to line up with the kingdom of God within you. You know what? Just get with it. Just get with it, because you know what? The kingdom is in you. Just let it out. And being transformed into his likeness. You know, there's an ever-increasing glory that just launches us from more glory into more glory as we press into him, as we get to know him. And you know what? There is a cost. There is a cost in following Jesus Christ. It's laying down all self. And it's saying, Lord, I need more of your healing. I need more of you. I'm desperate. I'm hungry. And go to him and worship him. And just get close to him. Anyway, I
give him a hand. Love this guy. So if indeed there's something that's beginning to stir in you, the commercial will end in a second. If there's anything stirring in you, my dear wife in the corner, just wave. She's got a bunch of brochures, and she'll give you a brochure that gives you just a little bit more information on it. Another one of the most exciting things that I find is that God shows us people that are sitting. How many people have come up to me afterwards and said, how exciting it was that God would pinpoint me in the midst of the congregation and would encourage me. Do you see why we need the gifts of the Spirit? Because see, the prophetic word is to encourage, it's to build up, it's to make people feel glad, not mad. To move them deeper into the things of God. So we find that very, very exciting. So when I see that, it's really hard for me not to just be obedient. I saw a gentleman as I was walking in the back. A lot of times when we prophesy over people, it's not like I'm reading social insurance numbers. But I don't believe it has to be that. If you have the anointing on you, this is a word for you today. If you have the anointing on you, do you realize that all it takes is a handshake? Do you believe that in a handshake that the anointing will flow from you to them? I believe it with every part of my being. I don't believe that it is as difficult sometimes as we try to make it out to be. All that God is doing is he's saying, would you go and would you love my people? Would you go and would you touch them and say, well, Holy Spirit, just give them a shot. This is a word for you today. It's not so hard as you think to be an instrument for God. I just get all woozy because it feels good to be in God's presence, because God's presence is in this place. So good. There's such a positive, intenseness about some of you. It's just incredible. The gentleman right there is so full. And it's going to start pouring out. It's going to pour. You see, the Holy Spirit's coming on him already, and not much has been said. Because that's the anointing of God. It's going to flow, man. It's going to flow. People are going to be touched and they're going to know that you're carrying the anointing in the presence of God. And I see them set free because of you. Make some sense to you today? Yeah. Reach out to him right now. Reach out to him. I don't know who he is.
I don't know what his situation is, but it's an encouraging word for this man that the glory of God is going to flow out of him and people are going to be set free. Set free. Just let the vibrations from you, the anointing of God, flow to him right now in Jesus' name. So, well, you're coming into an awesome season in Jesus' name. An awesome season in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord a hand for that. So everyone that we prophesy over, we have a scribe. Somebody always scribes what is prophesied. So that's what Sandy is doing right now. She's not just wandering around aimlessly. She is. They will write it down, and it's. I don't even have to tell them anymore. They know that when the prophecy goes forth, that it has to be written down so that you can take it home and that you can pray over it. Because you know what happens? The Holy Spirit expands the word that's been given to you as you speak to God about it. Pastor, I'm going to do one more thing and then I'll give it over to you because my 10 minutes is almost up. One or two people share your heart with me in regards to how you're feeling right now. One or two of you. Who is it? I'll only let two, not everybody at once. Oh, there's a sister right now. Just hang on. I want to give you the mic. Will she preach on us? Hey, will she? Maybe, yeah.
I just want to thank God for everything he's done for me. I am a recovering alcoholic addict. I have been clean for almost 4 months now. I just thank the good Lord. I thank him and I praise him. And he's brought me here to this church. You are my family. I have no other family. I just want to thank you all so much.
You
feel
good?
I feel fantastic.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you.
Bless her now. Just bless her now. That is so good. One more, and I'm going to choose who it is. Because I want him to share his heart, because a lot of fire going on in this guy. A lot of fire. No pressure.
Give him a hand, that'll stimulate him. He says, whoa. He said, I'm just standing near him and I'm feeling the anointing, the vibes from him.
What's going on? The last time I gave my testimony was 40 minutes, but I'm not doing that again. There's just a real fire of God. I think it's the fire that Moses saw in the burning bush. You know, something that draws you to come and have a look, because the bush should have actually burned up, but it didn't. That fire just kept going. And there's a drawing in the spirit right now. I think it's for more of God. It's like you just can't get enough, you know. You just want more like God. It's like the spirit is willing, but the flesh just can't absorb anymore. And so it's like, it's just God, just open my heart.
I want you to pray for all of us right now as far as our heart goes. Just everybody, reach out to heaven. You just pray for us.
Father, I thank you for the season we're living in. What an awesome privilege to be a child of God right now, today. And Father, we pursue... Your word says to pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And so, Father, we come before you today, this whole church. Father, I just ask right now for everyone in this house today that you would open our hearts to just receive more of us. I think you're going to have to open our hearts so that we can absorb more of you, because that's all we want. That's all that matters. And so we just bring it before you. Father, I thank you for every person in the house today. I thank you that you're no respecter of persons, that you're working in the back of the church the same as you are in the front, and that everything is going according to plan, your plan. You know, when the world looks like it's out of control, we know you're still in command. And so we just give it over to you. And I just thank you. That's all I can say. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. One of the things we sense so strongly in our spirits is that the face of the church, and I'm talking about the church, is going to begin to change. For so long it has been a pyramid. I really believe strongly, and we're part of it, the pyramid is going to start inverting. Where it's not going to just be a few people on top of the pyramid doing all the work. But the leadership and churches are going to take a risk and begin to turn the pyramid and become the foundation and allow people to build on them and find their place in Jesus' name. Is there anybody in this house that's with me? You know what's scary for the church? That indeed, maybe I have to step up to the plate. Maybe it's time for me to hit some home runs. Maybe it's time for us to ask the Holy Spirit to give us a Holy Ghost itch. We get itchy in the pew, and we got to get out, and we got to be used. Pastors, could you stand? I just can't help it. I just stand, both of you. Reach out to them. I just want to speak a blessing into their lives. I just want to thank the Lord for them, because they've got vision, and their vision is not just minuscule. It's huge, the two of them. And I thank you, Lord. I pray that prayer of agreement with all of you in here, that they are going to see it happen. You're going to see it happen. And we thank you, Lord, for them. And I believe the Lord would encourage you and say, your vision is still too small. Just begin to see it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Come on now. Come on now. Go, Yama. Bless them. They're worthy of honor today. And they have sacrificed. And you know what? They've gone through some stuff. I don't know. I don't know them. I don't know what their situation is. But they've gone through some stuff. They've paid price after price after price. And it's time now for them to reap the harvest, because they've sowed in Jesus' name. Bless you guys. Bless you. Bless you. Oh, so I'm going to give up the mic. Pastor, thank you so much for letting us. And I think you'll give us permission at the end of the service that we can minister a little bit if you desire that. So do you want this one?
I'll just take it for now. Bless you. Thank you, God. Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. And what you just said at the end is so important. And I want people to know that there will be opportunity at the end of our service to come for prayer, to come for a prophetic word, to come for healing. These are people who come from outside of our church. And I don't know you guys. You know, just was here last night and got a sense for your heart. But I believe sometimes God sends us somebody. And sometimes, I don't know if this makes any sense to you, but sometimes we need someone from outside to minister to us, because we're so used to being ministered within the family. It's like my own kids. Sometimes someone else can tell my own kids something better than I can tell them. It needs to be coming from somewhere else. So, you know, that's kind of the picture I have. And we're glad. I don't know you guys. I know Pastor Alvin knows you a little better. I know you're bold, and that's exciting. I mean, who else goes through the mall just looking for people and ministering to them and handing out, you know, cards and wanting to know if they want to know Jesus? So I appreciate your boldness. And I would encourage everyone here today, if there is something in your life that you need, if it's time for you to get things straightened out with God, if it's time to be emptied of something that is captivating your life, it's a good opportunity today. And I'm going to make sure there's time at the end of the service. You come forward. Come for prayer. Come for a word of knowledge. Come for healing. Come if God calls you to come. I believe that God's going to call many of you to come. I believe that this is a great opportunity. We have, you know, someone said a couple weeks ago, is it okay if these people come and minister and share and bring God? And I mean, how do you say no to that? So, and that doesn't mean, and I know for some of you, it might seem, you know, this is different than what we normally do, so bear with it. Just go with it. When we're done, you can leave. You don't need to do anything. No one's making you do anything. But be thankful for the people who are going to come. Be thankful for the ministry that is going to happen. And as you leave, pray for them. Pray that lives are going to be touched and people are going to be changed. There are some people here today who aren't Christian. You don't know Jesus. You've never asked him into your heart. I want you to know right now there's going to be an opportunity for that to happen. And maybe this is the day, this is the very beginning of a new relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. There's no good time to say this, but I'm just going to say it. It's just an announcement, and it doesn't fit in, but it doesn't matter. Next week, there's going to be a potluck. I think the potlucks are really important. They build us together. They get us to know some of the new people. So after church, potluck, bring some stuff if you can. If you can't, if you don't have any money and you can't afford it, don't. Just come yourself. There will be plenty of food. But after the service, we're going to eat a meal together. Amen? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let's pray. So God, thank you that your presence is here. I thank you for our brothers and sisters who've come to encourage us. And I pray that every one of us here will just receive that encouragement. And Lord, in the next little while here, I just pray that you'll prepare our hearts and you'll move us, God, to receive what you want to give us. That's all we pray today. We don't want to make anything up. We don't want to manipulate. We would just ask God that you would have your way and you would show today exactly what you have. Lord, there are people here, number of us who are really needy. There's some of us who are really broken, struggling in relationships, struggling with addiction, struggling with worry or fear. God, you know all of that stuff. And so right now, just prepare us. Take away the fear. The enemy tries to breed that fear in us. It's going to be so scary to come up front. It's going to be so scary to have these strange people pray over me. It's not. Just pray, Lord, you remove that fear. Thank you, God, for your word. And I just pray that your word would lead us to the cross and lead us to come and open ourselves up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to do this quicker than I thought because 10 minutes went by a lot longer than I thought. But you know, it's a minor miracle. I got the mic back, so I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. You wait till I come visit your church, brother. That's an invitation. You know, I'm just kidding. I appreciate so much. Hey, listen, last little while we've been talking about that one of the brothers talked about 2 Corinthians 3, about the veil. We've been into that in the next chapter, about chapter 4, about how, you know, God puts his spirit in jars of clay, people like us, and getting more into about faith. And that chapter 4 talks about how, you know, you can't please God without faith, and that we live not by sight. We live by faith. It comes from our heart. We need to believe, and we need to live according to our beliefs and according to our faith, not according to what we see. Because if we go by what we see, we're all going to just quit. We're going to give up. So the Christian life is a life of faith. It's believing. And it's one of the reasons why I need you in my life, and I believe you need me, is because we encourage each other in the faith. We keep saying, yeah, you know, I feel that. I know that. I confirm that. Yes, this is God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I got to move on here. I'm not going to preach what I was going to preach. I'm just going to give you the first part of it, and you'll get the rest of it next Sunday, which is going to draw all of you back. Because you're going to want to get the last part of this message. Yeah. So the message is from the Gospel of Matthew. God, I just prayed this week, God, show me about faith. What do we need to learn about faith. We need to learn more about what that means. We talk a lot about faith, but what does it really mean to operate in faith? And God led me to this story. It is in Matthew chapter 8. Great story. And again, we're just going to touch on it today. But I believe that it's going to kind of lead us to the next step of having you fellows and women, men, women, come up and minister to us. It's a story about the centurion, and just listen as I read it. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, I'm sorry, it's Matthew 8, verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." And Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." Isn't that something? There's no if, ands, or but. It's not, "Well, I'm kind of busy today." No. "My servant needs to be healed. He's paralyzed. He's not doing well." And Jesus says, "Okay, I'll go heal him." And the centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed." Wow. "For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes, and I say to this servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus then said to the centurion, "Go. It will be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that very hour. Isn't that an amazing passage? Isn't that a great story? A centurion was a Roman centurion. A centurion had 100 men under him, 100 soldiers under him. So this was a pretty important guy. And it's one of the only times, if not the only time in Scripture, that I can ever remember that Jesus was astounded at someone's faith. There's other times when we hear that Jesus was astounded at their lack of faith, but this time it was their faith that he's impressed with. And Jesus, you know, he wasn't really easily impressed. He knew everything. It doesn't happen very often that God the Son goes, "Wow, that is great faith," you know. No, a lot of times he says, "Oh, ye of little faith," but this time he says to the centurion, "That is remarkable faith. That is unusual. That's peculiar faith that you would believe so deeply in me." Because what does the centurion say? The centurion says to Jesus, "You know, Jesus, you don't even need to come. Just heal my servant. And my servant is paralyzed. My servant is, we actually read in Luke's account of this, that the servant was about to die. He's paralyzed. He's about to die." And the centurion comes to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, I get it. I know. I have men who are under me. I have people who, I tell them to go, they go. I tell them to come, they come. They do exactly what I say. I understand the authority thing, Jesus. And I understand," here's what he's saying, "I understand, Jesus, that you have authority. And that if you want to heal my servant, you can do it now. So just do it, God." That's what he's saying, right? And that's remarkable, astonishing faith. And we learned some things about that today. I'm going to just say two things, and then I'm going to be done. And the first is just one of the things that I think there's some remarkable things that we can learn about faith in this story. I could think of five or six, just two today. The first is this. It's that this master, and as a matter of fact, this the name for servant is doulos in the Greek, so he's really a slave. The word means slave. It's a slave who was paralyzed. But the first thing I want you to just to draw your attention to is that this master loved his servant. And that was an unusual feat. That was an unusual thing. I mean, think about it. He loved his servant. He out of his way, he found Jesus. He cared, for whatever reason, he cared for his servant. Even though it was this relationship of master and slave, there was something there, you know, as sometimes it happens, you know, in that relationship where over the years, this master had grown to love this other man, to love him as a servant, to love him as a brother, you know. That there's love that undergirds everything in this story. Everything, you know, that every reason why he comes to Jesus, it's only for one reason. It's because he loved this servant so much. And he didn't have to. You know, in that culture, a servant was a slave. It didn't mean anything. He had no status whatsoever. If he died, you just threw him away and you got another one. You know, there's no reason. He had no obligation to love the servant. But what we get from the picture that Matthew paints for us here is we get a picture of a master who is just incredibly caring And he's got such a deep love for the servant who's paralyzed. And it just, you know, brings to mind for me how important love is. You know, and what you guys were talking about last night and what you were saying earlier today, that what God does and how he moves in our lives and how he moves in our church, and the reasons why God does what he does in terms of healing people or saving people, it all really comes down to one thing. It's because God is love, and because he loves us. You know, God is that master. I am that slave. I'm that servant. And he loved me so much that he sent his only son. Amen? And this is about, it's about the undergirding of love, that all the other things that happened in this story, the miracle, the healing of this man, all the wonderful things that we pray for, some things, sometimes, I mean, it's all really got to be foundational in love, or none of it matters at all. And you need to know that, because the reason why God offers you today something new in your life, maybe it's a brand new life, or maybe it's a healing, or maybe it's a change that needs to happen in your life, or something that needs to fall off of you. You need to know that there's only one reason why God would do that for you, and that's because he loves you. He loves you so much, and I don't know how to even communicate that exactly. It's such an important teaching. You know, God loves you. He loves me. And everything that happens in ministry, everything, whether it's a word or whether it's prophecy or healing, if God's got a purpose or a plan, he's going to change something in your life or my life, it's only because he loves you. And I'm not sure we get that enough, how deep the love of the Father runs, how deep his love runs for me. I remember one time listening to a guy preach, and he was trying to do the same thing I'm trying to do, you know, somehow communicate the love of God and the vast love of God and how amazing God's love is. He's trying to communicate that, and he wanted to use the analogy of an octopus, and what he wanted to say is that God loves you so much that he just wants to wrap his arms around you like the tentacles of an octopus. What he did say is that he wants to wrap his love around you like the testicles of an octopus, which is an entirely different thing. So just think of the tentacles, because that's a better analogy. That God, he just wants to wrap his arms around you like he's got all those arms, and they surround you in his love. Can you get that? Can you understand the love, the depth of his love for you? His love is like a river, and it just flows, and it pours out. And the reason why this servant was healed was because his master loved him. The reason why you are healed, the reason why any of you who have been saved, or me, is because God's loved me. That's all. There's no other reason. It's not because I earned it. It's not because I'm entitled to it. It's only for one reason. God loves me. That the very essence, actually, of God is love. The Bible says God is love. And from this, I just want to say one more thing about love, is that as we love other people, it seems to motivate the heart of God. As I learn to love the homeless or someone who's addicted or someone who's in prison, as I demonstrate love for that person, something unusual, strange, and wonderful happens, and that's that it stirs up the very heart of God. Do you believe that? Are you getting that? Like that God, here's what happens, that God is motivated, his heart is motivated when my heart loves someone else. And I know that we talk and we pray and we want to see the power of God. We want to see the move of God. We want to see healing and people change. Jesus said, I came to seek and save the lost. That was his whole purpose for coming. I want people saved, Jesus said. I'm the light of the world. And here's just a wonder question. And I'm going to end on this first part with this wonder question. I wonder this. I wonder how much more power we would see if there was a more pure love that we had for other people. Yeah. Not right now, okay? Sorry. Later, though. Say it one more time. I want you to let that sink in. I wonder, you know, we want the power of God. If we would learn to love with the love of God, we would see so much more of the power of God.
Second thing, and then I just touch on this too, is one of the things that's remarkable, just really remarkable about this centurion. This is a guy of some position. You get that, right? This is a guy who was important. Everyone looked up to him. One of the things, though, I appreciate in this story, that the way Matthew tells it, is he tells us that this was also a man who wasn't afraid to ask. He wasn't afraid to come to Jesus. He went and found Jesus. He sought Jesus out, and he wasn't afraid to ask Jesus. He wasn't afraid to come up to Jesus and say, Jesus, I know who you are. I've heard about you. And I want you to come and heal my servant. Will you come? Because my servant is important to me, and I love him. He wasn't afraid to ask. He wasn't afraid to ask. Sometimes we're afraid to ask. Doug, would you close that door for me? I don't want any disruptions here. You want to, this is especially for men, okay? I'm sorry, guys, but we're not good at asking. Women are better at asking. We don't even ask for directions when we're lost. Right? There's something really important about asking, and men don't ask. We don't ask very readily. We don't ask for help. We don't ask for prayer. We don't ask for someone to be a mentor. We don't ask for counseling when we're struggling with our marriage. Instead, what we tend to think is, I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm doing great. I'm doing all right here. Right? It isn't true. It isn't true. This man who was a leader of Romans, who was a Roman centurion, he wasn't afraid to ask Jesus for what he needed, and we ought not be afraid to ask Jesus for what we need as well. You get that? Yeah. We think we're being manly when we are tough and we don't ask, you know. I'm okay, I'm fine. Fine. It's almost like there's two different kinds of men. The one who will say, he says, I'm fine, I'm fine. Or the other one who says, only God. And almost there's no other option. Those are the two options that you have. Either you go through life, you're going through life and your motto is, I'm fine. Everything's great. I'm doing well. I got everything under control. Or your motto is, God, only you. Only you, God. I can't do this. I am not in control. I am not strong. I am weak, God. Only you. Right? And I mean, it fits in with spiritual leadership too, right? That there's a lot of guys, and I'm sorry to pick on you today. If you come next week, I'll try to pick on someone else. But listen, there's a lot of us guys who have a hard time even showing that kind of leadership, spiritual leadership in our families or in our relationships, where we'll say, you know, one of the most manly things you can say is you can look your wife in the eyes and say, honey, let's pray together. Or honey, how about if we just read God's word tonight? If you show that kind of leadership, you know what? You're a man. That's being a man. And if you think you're a man just going through life and not having to do any of that kind of stuff, and you're just above all that, and I'm strong and I'm macho and I don't eat quiche, you know, or whatever it is, you're not a man. A real man is someone who says, honey, let's pray together. God's a God. Listen. God's got this thing about asking, and it's important to him because God wants us to have a relationship with him. That's why. He wants us to have a relationship. He says, ask and you'll receive. Knock, or seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. But you got to do it. It's up to you to ask. God's waiting for you to ask. And some of you today, you need to ask. In a few minutes, you're going to have that opportunity to do that. But you need to ask. You need to come to God and say, God, I need this. What is it that you need today? Because God wants you to ask for it. It can be, maybe you're full of worry, or you've got a real problem in your life, or there's a sickness. Ask. Ask, and you'll receive. And if you go through life not asking and thinking, well, I'm just tough, I don't need to ask, the Bible says that's foolish. God's got a thing about asking because it's putting him in a position of God, and it's putting us in a position of being a servant and saying, God, I'm asking you because I need you, and it's only you, God. Only you can do this. Only you. And God wants that relationship with you. He's like my own kids. I love it when my kids ask me something. They need me. They ask me something. Dad, what do you think about this? Dad, my fourth son phoned me this week, and he said, Dad, my car is leaking oil in the garage. I love that. No, I don't love it that the car's leaking oil, but I love it that he asks me, right? My Father in heaven wants me to ask. He wants me to come to him and say, I need you. I really need you, Dad. I need you, Abba. I need you, Father. One day, almost 35 years ago, I took my wife to the banks of a little pond. And I got down on my knees. And I asked her to marry me. And she looked me in the eyes and she said, you? That's not true. She looked me in the eyes and she said, of course. Yeah, man. I got to tell you, it was absolutely the best question I've ever posed in my whole life. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. Most of you are going, that's for sure. But you know, it's really true. The best thing I ever did, seal that deal and make sure that she was my wife. Almost 35 years now. But listen, here's the point. I'm done. I needed to ask. If I would have asked, it never would have happened. And it's time for you to do the same. You just got to ask. You don't need to be afraid of God. You don't need to be afraid that she's going to say no or you. He doesn't do that. He doesn't. He says, ask and you'll receive. If your earthly father gives you good gifts, don't you think your heavenly father will give you good gifts? Don't you think so? So come to God today. Be a man. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to get on your knees and ask him for what you really need. And maybe, you know, maybe, this is just a maybe, maybe this isn't even for you. Maybe you got asked for someone else who couldn't even be here today, and someone can pray instead, in that stead. But as we close this service today, and as we're going to pray in a minute, I'm going to encourage you to come and ask. Just bow your heads a minute. I want you just to think and seek God. Lord, open our eyes right now, our inner eyes. Show us what we need to ask of you, God. You are my Father. You love me as a son. And I have this in my life that I need to leave here. I need to leave this here as I walk in real freedom. God, right now I pray in the name of Jesus and by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will open our hearts. Just convict us of what you want. There's something that's really troubling us. There's something that's big and huge and painful, broken. You know all of that stuff. And you're God of revelation. I believe that because your word says it. So God, reveal right now. Reveal in our hearts exactly what our need is today of you. I thank you for our brothers and sisters are here. I thank you for the ones who've come from Stony Plain and that they're going to minister. And I would just ask, Lord, today, I ask that your Holy Spirit would move and bring healing and freedom to all of us. That we're not afraid to come to the front. We're not afraid today, maybe for the very first time, to ask you into our hearts and to begin a new life. And to leave the old behind, to repent. Maybe to come forward and confess. Maybe it's about healing. God, you reveal that. We are your servants. I just ask now, Lord, that you'll show us that amazing love that you have for us. In Jesus' name.
I believe that the Holy Spirit is here and he wants to touch you today. If you were here last night and you received ministry, could you first of all allow those that didn't have a chance to receive ministry to go first, and then if you want to come again, okay? You can go for a second run. But let's close our eyes and just put our hands out just for a second. And as I'm doing that, if the team can take their position. Is Sheldon still here? He's coming. Just put our hands out just for a second. Do you know what I say? It's just this simple. Put your hands out and ask the Holy Spirit, come. We complicate it far too much. Just say, come, Holy Spirit. Fill me. Don't let me leave this place without receiving a touch from you. And we thank you, Lord, for it. The altars are going to be open. I know for a fact that there is a touch for you. We believe with all of our being that there is a transference of the anointing of God that's available to you. That as we lay hands on you, that there's going to be a flow of the anointing of God. And if you come and you expect, you're going to receive. If you don't expect, you leave the same as you came. So open your heart to receive. We're just going to quietly worship. And as you feel that drawing, and choose the group that you feel that you need to go to. But first of all, those that haven't had a chance, and then we'll open it up for those that we ministered to last night. In Jesus' name. Open our hearts to receive. Open our
you.